The headlines this hour, the U.S. announces its commitment to Israel's security once again.
Our commitment to Israel's security is unshakable.
Tel Aviv approves the construction of more settler units on occupied Palestinian territory. Top U.S. lawmakers agree to extend controversial surveillance and search powers. And also this hour, the UN warns about the humanitarian situation in Libya.
It is 6 p.m. in New Jersey and 1 a.m. in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, U.S. President Barack Obama has delivered a long-awaited speech about the latest developments in the Arab world and negotiations between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
The events of the past 6 months show us that strategies of repression and strategies of diversion will not work anymore.
After months of pro-reform and democracy demonstrations and two major revolutions in the Arab world, U.S. President Barack Obama has set out what he calls a new vision for the region. Reassuring unshakable support for Israel, President Obama says his country supports changes in Tunisia and Egypt, the two countries with their despotic dictators Washington had close ties and was supporting in the past three decades. He strongly condemned Syria's crackdown on pro-reform protesters, but Bahrain, the home to the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet, and Yemen got only a slap on the wrist, with Obama urging real dialogue with the opposition and transfer of power for the latter. He charged that Iran was trying to take advantage of the unrest in Bahrain, and as expected, Obama made no mention of the human rights situation in Saudi Arabia, one of Washington's staunchest and long-standing allies in the region. But Obama had nothing new to offer when it came to the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. He warned both sides that they will face greater risks by not coming together on a peace deal than by going on their own ways.
For over 2 years, my administration has worked with the parties and the international community to end this conflict, building on decades of work by previous administrations. Yet expectations have gone unmet. Israeli settlement activity continues. Palestinians have walked away from talks. The world looks at a conflict that has grinded on and on and on and sees nothing but stalemate.
The speech by Obama coincided with Israel's approval of more settlement units in East Jerusalem Al-Quds, which is sought as the future capital of a Palestinian state. Shortly after Obama's speech, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu left Israel for a six-day trip to Washington. The visit will include talks with the U.S. President, an address to AIPAC, and a speech before a joint session of the U.S. Congress. Since Obama took office in 2009, peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians have largely been at a standstill, except for a short period last year, which ended in a breakdown following Israel's refusal to freeze illegal settlement building in the West Bank. The accord signed between Palestinian rival factions Hamas and Fatah last month dashed hopes for Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. Obama's envoy to the Middle East, George Mishal, resigned shortly afterwards. Many observers and ordinary people in the Arab world argue that Obama has nothing new to offer. The speech seems to have generated cynicism about Obama's ability to make any difference in the region.
Palestinian factions have reacted to U.S. President Barack Obama's speech on America's Middle East policies. Hamas has condemned Obama's speech and accused him of siding with Israel. A Hamas spokesman says Obama's remarks were no different than those of his predecessor, George W. Bush. The group calls on the U.S. president to take concrete steps and not issue, quote, slogans in support of an end to Israeli occupation. Meanwhile, acting Palestinian Authority chief Mahmoud Abbas has called a meeting of Palestinian leaders to examine Obama's speech.
Well, Israel has once again defied international law by approving the construction of 620 more settlement units on Palestinian territory. Tel Aviv has approved the building of hundreds of new units in three different areas across Jerusalem al-Quds. In addition, later on Thursday, Tel Aviv is planning to approve 900 more settlement units. The latest plans come on the eve of Israeli Premier's visit to Washington. The United Nations has reportedly declared Israel's settlement building on Palestinian lands as illegal under international law. Well, joining us from New Jersey to speak about this a bit more is the author of Hidden History of Zionism, Ralph Shahnman. Mr. Shahnman, as always, many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, 620 more settlements on Palestinian territory. What we see here again is Israeli actions at odds with the U.S.'s verbal stances. But the U.S. still pledging support for the Israelis. A bit of deja vu, isn't it?
Yes, it's the constant and repeated formula. Every time there is rhetoric about a so-called peace settlement, which is, I like to explain, has nothing to do with peace and everything to do with pacification. By pacification, I mean the Palestinians expected to accept a territory without the entitlement to their own army, carved up into little areas separated by roads maintained by Israeli military, basically a Bantustan, makes the Bantustans look generous by comparison, and that is what they're talking about by way of a so-called peace formulation. It has nothing to do with peace. It's about pacifying the Palestinian people as their expulsion is organized. That's what these settlements represent. All factions of the Israeli Zionist state talk about this as creating facts on the ground. And those facts on the ground reflect very carefully what was laid out in 1947 by the Jewish Agency before the United Nations Special Committee on Palestine, which was actually carving up Palestine over the heads of the Palestinian people, offering the Zionists 55% of the most fertile land. And at that time, Rabbi Fishbaum, on behalf of the Jewish Agency, presented a map of what was called Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. The land of Israel, according to this map, which is based upon the second volume of the diaries of Theodor Herzl, called the land of Israel all of Palestine, all of Lebanon, all of Cisjordan, Arabia, one-third of Arabia, Egypt up to the Nile, including Cairo, one-half of Iraq, two-thirds of Syria, the southern tier of Turkey, and Kuwait. That was the formal representation of the Zionist movement through the Jewish Agency before the United Nations in 1947, Eretz Israel. That is reflected in the politics and the policies of the Israeli state ever since, founded upon the expulsion through massacre of 800,000 people out of a total population of 950,000, with 475 Palestinian towns and villages seized, 385 reduced to rubble, wiped off the map, and the 90 remaining having their land confiscated. That's the reality. That's the nature of the Zionist state. And every single regime continues the expansion of these settlements, the removal of the Palestinian population from the land, their further subjugation. It's a ridiculous suggestion that this has anything to do with the aspirations of peace in the region. On the contrary, it's the aspiration of total subjugation. And the United States and Obama represent the facilitation of this project.
Right.
Who finances the Israeli state? Who arms them?
Right. Mr. Shahnman, you just spoke about the creation of facts on the ground. How does Obama's new Middle East policy come into play in the light of this?
What the Obama policy does is to create a farrago of fiction, namely supposed negotiations back and forth between a Palestinian representation that has no connection to the Palestinian people and is basically run by the Central Intelligence Agency on the one hand, and then country-selling regimes throughout the region under challenge now from the peoples of the entire area. That's what these revolutions are about, getting rid of these country-selling regimes that have been in alliance with the Zionist state, have been subordinate to imperialism, and which are based upon the total suppression of the populations of each country respectively, from Tunisia to Algeria to Egypt to Jordan to Yemen to Bahrain to Lebanon, and indeed throughout the region. That's the project, and the Zionist state basically is the hit squad of U.S. imperialism for this purpose. That's why all of this rhetoric is just designed to delay, install, and demobilize. All of this is by way of preventing people from acting in their own name, as they have in Egypt, as they are throughout the region, as we will see occurring in Palestine itself. What I would like to see happen, if you don't mind my saying this, is the mobilization of the entire Palestinian diaspora in a great march emulating the Salt March of Gandhi, a great peaceful march with international figures in the forefront, marching to the borders of Palestine while the population inside mobilizes and says, welcome home, and the people coming say, we are coming home. The mobilization of the Palestinian people and their supporters throughout the region and the world is the only effective way to begin the process of eliminating the Zionist state and replacing it with a society based upon the rights of people, not dependent on their ethnicity or their religious affiliation. As long as there's a Zionist state and imperialism supports it, we will continue to see more settlements and more subjugation and more horrible penalties and genocidal politics as we've seen unfold against the people in Gaza.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm afraid we have run out of time. That was the author of Hidden History of Zionism, Ralph Shahnman, speaking to us from New Jersey. Mr. Shahnman, many thanks for your insights here on Press TV.
Moving on now, leading U.S. lawmakers have agreed to extend controversial surveillance and search powers adopted after the September 11th attacks. The agreement calls for the extension of key powers of the Patriot Act for an additional 5 years. These measures include the use of wiretaps and tracking non-U.S. citizens, even if they are not affiliated to an extremist group. It also allows law enforcement agencies to seize any tangible evidence seen as critical to an investigation. The Patriot Act has generated a great deal of controversy since it was adopted. The American Civil Liberties Union says it undermines people's basic rights.
The United Nations has warned that the humanitarian crisis in Libya is worsening. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has said that the situation in the country is deteriorating as attempts to secure a ceasefire have failed. He expressed concern with, quote, the very bad situation in the western port city of Misurata that is under the control of the revolutionary forces. Ban Ki-moon said his special envoy to Libya, Abdul Ilah al-Khatib, has not made any progress in persuading Libyan ruler Muammar Gaddafi accept a truce. Meanwhile, the revolutionaries say the humanitarian situation in the western Nafusa Mountains is critical. They say Gaddafi forces have blocked humanitarian aid and evacuation of the wounded in the area.
In Libya, anti-regime fighters are shelling the embattled ruler Muammar Gaddafi's forces near the city of Ajdabiya as the fighting continues in different fronts. The revolutionary forces have also captured two border crossings, one between Libya and Chad and the other between Libya and Sudan. This while NATO has reportedly attacked forces loyal to Gaddafi in a nearby area. In a separate development, Tunisia has denied reports that Gaddafi's daughter and her mother have crossed into the country.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. These are the headlines this hour. The U.S. announces its commitment to Israel's security once again.
Our commitment to Israel's security is unshakable.
Tel Aviv approves the construction of more settler units on occupied Palestinian territory. Top U.S. lawmakers agree to try to extend controversial surveillance and search powers. And the UN warns about the humanitarian situation in Libya.